The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes, welcome to the Thunderbolt for December 27th, 2024. This will not only be the last Thunderbolt of the year, but I'm afraid it will be the last Thunderbolt ever, as I am discontinuing the show. There's a lot of reasons for this, some political, some personal, but those reasons are intertwined in many. And if I were to start talking about any of them, I would need to start talking about all of them, and I don't want to waste precious airtime going over all of that. Anyway, I have put together a spectacular array of all my favorite pieces I've recorded over the 10 years I've been producing this show. And I'm going to start off with a piece I recorded right after I figured out what was wrong with the world. Enjoy. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a few words from your discount Looking Glass outlet. E. Caveat. Emptor. Sucker. Yes, kids, I have spectacular news for you this week, because after decades of painstaking and exhaustive research, I have finally figured out what is wrong with the world! And never fear, my loyal listeners, yes, both of you, for I am about to reveal the secret in an explosive Thunderbolt exclusive! Kids, we have fallen through a discount looking glass. Consider, what if you reported a crime and they threw you into jail for reporting it, while the actual criminal received a promotion? Well, that is exactly what Barack Obama has been doing to more whistleblowers than all other presidents in the country's history combined. Really? What the hell kind of looking glass is that? What if you were robbed of nearly everything you own, but when you called the police explained that the robber had subsequently lost all your money gambling in a casino, and now that in addition to your losses from the theft, must also pay for his gambling debts. Well, that is exactly what Wall Street just did to all of us, and that was exactly the government's response. Wow, that looking glass must have some kind of nasty crap on the lens, eh? And
And what can you say when motherhood, the job that not only carries more responsibility than any other, but is also one of the hardest and the most demanding, receives not one duly of any squat concerning financial remuneration for their efforts, whilst arrogant, sociopathic, human mutant hybrids who do nothing but suck our world dry receive compensation that is so over the top, overblown, that is quite literally insane. Jeez, this looking glass must have been manufactured by a child slave in a third world sweatshop or something. I think we should demand a refund.
Haha. Yes. So I started reluctantly programming at a now defunct radio station in Olympia called KOWA that used to be on the air at 106.5. And I did that because the general manager asked me to do it because he was getting swamped. And I also started reluctantly producing this radio show when the general manager asked me to do that as well. And while I was hesitant to do both things at first, I later thanked that gentleman when I saw him at a conference in Portland a few years later, because programming a radio station and producing this radio show has been two of the coolest things I have ever done in a long life of doing lots and lots of cool things. Anyway, KOWA's license was held by another now-defunct organization called Media Island, which technically still exists under that name but has absolutely nothing to do with the Media Island that existed back then, other than the fact they basically stole the house that was and still is owned by Media Island. But that is another very, very long story that I'm not going to waste precious airtime going over. The point I want to make here is that this next Thunderbolt was basically an activist recruiting piece, encouraging people to come to Media Island and get involved. Enjoy! Hey kids, this is the head of the Rabble Rouser Recruiting Division at Media Island International, where we believe that saving the world may be a fun job, but somebody's got to do it. And I am happy to announce that there are thousands of positions available for saving your planet, both locally and around the world. Everybody is good at something. And the revolution needs everything. Yes, we have positions open for organizers, clowns, farmers, conflict resolution experts, stonemasons, mad geniuses, buskers, doctors, acrobats, media people, mothers, zombies, politicians, computer techs, fundraisers, musicians, students, teachers, lawyers, witches, paper shufflers, general experts on whatever, and people to yell at other people entertainingly through a bullhorn. This is an equal opportunity revolution. No experience is required. On-the-job training will be provided. As for your wages, our benefits package includes a deep sense of satisfaction that can only be gained by doing the right thing. Unless you are an incredibly vile human being, you will make little, if any, money. It will, in fact, often cost you dearly. A desire for riches is not why you do things like this. As for who to contact, there are many choices depending upon your goals, your skills, and your issues. You can stay between the lines, or you can travel through the far reaches of space. You're already listening to KOWA. That's a good start. We'll keep you posted on everything that's happening in Olympia. Or you can stop by Media Island, which is at 816 Adams Street, right across the street from the downtown library. We have meeting space. We have public computers. We have a library full of books with information you will not see on your TV. We have videos. We have zines. And we have this radio station. This is KOWA 106.5 Low Power FM. Streaming at KOWALP.org. Let's say we listen to Bela play some banjo now. Yes, kids, it has reached the point wherein if you are not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. If everybody throws a few shovels full of sand into the cogs, the machine cannot function. So do something. Do anything. Do that thing you do so well. You can sing. You can charm them with a smile. Work quietly behind the scenes. Use yes men tactics. Dance. Baffle them with BS. Enchant them. Wear a clown nose. Run for office. Throw a pie in their face. Guide people toward the light. Yell at people through a bullhorn. Yes, there are lots of people doing lots of good things, often with less than nothing, and they always need more help. There are numerous student organizations that are kicking much ass. There are numerous faith organizations doing a lot of very good work. Yes, the machine is stealing everything, and there is no more burying your head in the sand unless you want your family living in a cardboard box in an alley sometime soon. The important thing is to do something. Yeah, just do something. And so now, in honor of Black Friday, and in the spirit in which Black Friday to us comes, I now present a report on an interview with a vampire. This is excerpted from an interview with filmmaker and former politician Aaron Russo, wherein Mr. Russo described a conversation that he once had with his one-time friend, Nicholas Rockefeller. Rockefeller: by having this war on terror, you can never win it. So you can just keep on taking people's liberties away indefinitely. Russo: what are you doing this for? What is the point of all this? You have all the money in the world you could ever want and all the power. You are hurting people and it is not a good thing. Rockefeller: what do you care about the people for? Take care of yourself and take care of your family.
Russo, what are the ultimate goals here? Rockefeller, the ultimate goal is to get everyone chipped with an RFID chip and have all the money and all of everything else be on those chips. And if anyone wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip. So do you see what I mean? This is what I'm talking about, kids. If Mr. Rockefeller needs to be provided with an explanation for why people should care about people, and I suspect he's incapable of even understanding the explanation, much less ever actually taking the sentiment to heart. And this attitude is what is killing us, kids. They steal everything, they kill everyone so that they can erect some impenetrable wall betwixt themselves and the world, even though the world always wins in the end, and even though the storms they unleash often get out of hand and sweep everything away, taking them right along with it. And this is very bad because this attitude is contagious. This attitude is synergistic. This attitude perpetuates itself. Ill will begets ill will. Violence begets violence. And hatred begets hatred. Everything feeds on itself, and then it often builds up to great crescendos of literal mass insanity. And the costs are paid for generations, too. Due to the brutalization of an entire generation, all of those Central American countries that were ruled by brutal, murderous American-backed military dictatorships during Ronald Reagan's heyday in the 80s, many of those countries now have civilian murder rates that are killing just as many innocents as many of their numerous American-inspired and financed civil wars did. And this violence will also spread, and this violence will also perpetuate, and this violence will also synergistically grow. Now, a natural response to Mr. Rockefeller's attitude would be to ask this: why should we care about Mr. Rockefeller? Maybe we should follow Mr. Rockefeller's advice, and maybe we should take care of ourselves and take care of our families by mounting a revolution against Mr. Rockefeller's ilk. But the whole point of our whole struggle is that we are better than they are. We do not dehumanize people, even those who dehumanize others. If they are such terrible people, why on earth would we ever want to use them as role models for our own behavior? That said, though, do you really think it would be in yours or your family's interest to invest someone like Nicholas Rockefeller with the power to turn off your chip if you bitch about one of his wars or if you complain about him stealing your pension fund? So if you do not think this is a very good idea, you need to get out into the streets, kids. Because that is the only thing that ever brings any change you can believe in. Yeah, you need to get out in the streets, because otherwise, Mr. Rockefeller and RFID will be coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Did you know that oil was the major factor behind both World Wars I and II? Franz Ferdinand was a pretext. World War I started for many reasons, but the central reason was that the British were totally freaked out about a German plan to construct a Berlin to Baghdad railway to transport Middle Eastern oil to Germany and German soldiers to Baghdad if necessary. After World War I, Iraq was the biggest spoil of all. Shortly after this, John D. Rockefeller originally established relations with the Saudi royal family. Last week, I mentioned that prior to the American invasion, Iraq had several top-notch universities. Well, those are the remnants of a program wherein John D. Rockefeller established numerous universities throughout the Middle East. He considered this to be the second most important investment that Standard Oil could make. Now, these universities were specifically designed to win local hearts and minds, and they did just that. The oppressive British colonial system of direct political control, the Americans instead controlled certain locals who would do their dirty work for them. Thus, while the Americans were still calling the shots, it appeared as if the locals were running the show. Educating an elite class amongst the locals was necessary to implementing such a system of indirect control. Yeah, we'll just hire some bounty hunters to run that country for us. How did all of our oil get under their sand anyway? I recently reported that Jeff Bezos built Amazon by deploying ruthless cutthroat methods and undercutting everyone else's prices and paying no sales taxes and putting local retailers out of business all over the country. I reported that he operated literal sweatshops with horrendous working conditions for his workers right here in the United States, and that he had both purchased the Washington Post as a propaganda outlet, and that he had almost simultaneously inked a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, there's new news to report from the Jeff Bezos front. And this is a real shocker, kids. Bezos has revealed that Amazon has a secret laboratory in Seattle where he claims that over the last few months, Amazon has worked through and developed an eighth generation of drones that can carry 5-pound packages through the sky at 50 miles per hour. And he is now asking permission of the FAA to unleash them.
Oh, jeez. Another day, another crisis. Oh, well. Time once again to gird our loins and go into the breach to do some battle. and to kick some serious ass.
Now, the most amazing thing about the coverage of this event is that it is barely there. And what is there seems to be accepting this as some sort of novelty or joke or something. Ironically, the most extensive coverage I could find was on the local Seattle weekly, The Stranger. A few things you should know about this. There was recently a Seattle woman who spotted a tiny drone hovering just outside her bedroom window as she was changing. And Ms. Surveillance State herself, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, spotted a drone inches from her face just outside her window. A woman in Sydney, Australia, recently found a drone hovering just outside her kitchen window, and the police explained that it was a real estate agent drone. A real estate agent drone? That's just what we needed! And now, after all that, the mad scientist Jeff Bezos announces that he has been developing several generations of drones in a secret undercover laboratory in Seattle, and he is now ready to unleash his swarm of drones into our skies. All of this coming shortly after inking his $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. Really? Does that completely creep out anyone besides me? This seems like the plot of a very bad B-grade movie. Except this is for real.
We'll be back after a quick station break.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
And the Thunderbolt will be right back, but first, a word from one of our sponsors.
As youth find their educational and economic opportunities disappearing before their very eyes, perhaps it is time to think outside the box and consider alternative educational prospects that take into account the likely financial situation young people will soon find themselves facing. There is a unique opportunity that exists that will not only provide invaluable expertise for dealing with this bewildering new world in which you find yourselves thrust, but the experience itself is guaranteed to change your entire view of life. Yes, kids, I'm talking about Club Fed. Tell me, have you ever considered how you could stretch the family budget during those lean times at the end of the month if only you knew how to pick locks and neutralize alarm systems? Perhaps you would like to know how to supplement your slave wage by cooking a little meth in your spare time. Just think how handy it could be to know how to steal someone's identity and credit card numbers. Would you like to learn how to produce fire, alcoholic beverages, or lethal weapons under almost any condition or circumstance? I'm happy to announce that Club Fed offers intensive graduate-level courses on all of the above subjects and many more in addition. And school is now in session. Yes, kids, in a move that reflects their genius, your government has concentrated most of the criminal masterminds throughout the entire country into confined, intensely personal spaces where they associate with no one but other criminals who have absolutely nothing to do but learn to hate the world even more than they already did and to share their trade secrets. Yes, kids, it's education by immersion. So relax, make yourself at home, slip off your cheap rubber slip-ons and loosen your chains. Just consider some of Club Fed's amenities. For instance, the menu. It's tasteless and largely inedible slop of a largely unidentifiable nature. Consider the cuisine. It exactly complements the menu. Our recreational activities include staring at walls and walking in circles. The services include 24-hour armed security, a change of bedding every few weeks. Restroom facilities, you can rest assured, are cleaned after every few hundred uses. Nature lovers, you'll be amazed at the incredible diversity of the parasitic insect population and at the proliferation of disease-bearing microorganisms. You can enjoy dull and uninteresting conversation with the ignorant and untrained staff. You can put some edge in your life by spending every minute of every day surrounded by violent psychopaths. You have to watch out for some of the other inmates, too. Or, if you prefer, you can just relax and enjoy the scenic view featuring vast expanses of pretty razor wire glittering picturesquely in the sunset, the entire scene framed by the quaint little gun towers. And in addition to all that, you automatically become part of the prison industrial complex, which is the fastest growing industry in the United States. And best of all, I saved the best for last for you kids, there are neither women, nor children, nor any normal social interaction of any kind to distract you from your studies. You have all the time you need to devote to the learning the fine arts of thievery, corruption, and mayhem. Yes, kids, come learn from the masters. Act now to take advantage of this special offer. Club Fed, it's a stop that you'll never forget. Thousands of positions are available immediately. Since only rich kids can afford to go to college now, then as a public service, the Thunderbolt recently advised college-age youth of the educational opportunities available to them through the federal prison system. Yes, where they can learn the skills they will need to survive in this brave new world order. But then, suddenly, I realized that we must think of the children! And thus, in the Thunderbolt's dedication to public service and to educating the kids, I am proud to announce the first airing of a new Thunderbolt feature that will be aimed at the little people. Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt feels that children should be prepared for the actual world that they will actually be facing.
Thus, the Thunderbolt feels that kids are never too young to learn about genocidal slaughter and rape and drugs. And I'm here to tell you, kids, that you need to immediately forget nearly everything that they taught you in school and just listen to old Uncle Dana as he tells you how the world really works. Yes, kids. And this is a segment that I am calling
Poppy Seed Street.
I'm about to rock out, so you better look out.
I've been in a wasted days, been climbing up the walls all day, and so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. But can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
Yeah, man, I can hook you up. What you need?
Yippee!
When I've been smoking crack all day, then everything is a-okay. And I've got a homicidal neighbor there, and that's where we meet. Well, can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch.
Hey, dude, just chill out. Yeah, we're puking on their magic carpet ride. And every jail cell will open wide for strung out people like you. And strung out people like, oh, what a hazy
wasted days, been climbing up the walls all day, and so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. Can you tell me how to get
to
Poppy Seed Street?
Yippee!
Hey man, I'm hurting bad, and I really need to get to Poppy Seed Street. Can you please help me out here?
Hey, you got my money, biatch? This ain't no Sesame Street game we playing here. You in the hood now, punk.
Poppy Seed Street, Lesson 1. Hello, kids. Welcome to Poppy Seed Street. Now, our very first lesson is going to be about capitalism. Can you say capitalism? Now, capitalism is the system under which we live, and it is very, very important that you learn the rules, so pay close attention today, okay, kids?
The hare has lost his spectacles.
That's just his problem. Now, capitalism is very famous as a parasite that consumes its host. Capitalism is made up of predators and prey, or you might want to call them winners and losers. The winners get to own more than 1,000 families could possibly spend in 1,000 lifetimes, and they get to live in decadent luxury, while the losers often can't even feed their own children, and they often live in poisonous, crime-ridden hellholes. And thus, as long as capitalism reigns, you definitely want to be a winner rather than a loser. The reality is that each predator requires lots and lots of prey, and so there are lots and lots and lots of losers. Well, I'm afraid that there are not very many winners at all, kids, so you need to take measures. Now, under capitalism, those who rise to the top are those who are the most ruthless and cutthroat, so I'm afraid that nice people don't fare so well here, kids. So you really, really, really need to forget all those things they taught you in kindergarten about being fair, and about playing nice, and about sharing, and about not slicing people's throats open. Because all of that being nice and being fair stuff is strictly for the losers. Now, the best way to be a winner is to be born into a wealthy white family. If you were so fortunate, then congratulations! Against seemingly impossible odds, you won the sperm lottery. However, even if you weren't born into a wealthy white family, there have been many cases of people rising from the bottom to achieve the pinnacles of success. And as our current president demonstrates, you don't even have to be white anymore. So now brutal exploitation is an equal opportunity field, and all that is required is a level of ambition indicating serious psychological derangement and a willingness to sell your soul to the devil. See, it's easy, kids. Souls are just for losers anyway. Under capitalism, the best way to claw yourself to the top of the hill is to kill lots and lots and lots of people. I know this sounds like a lot of trouble and bother, and maybe it's not very nice, but that's just the way it works under capitalism. And if you want to be a winner, then that's just what you need to do, kids. Another requirement for reaching the top of the heap and winning the game, whatever that means, is that you must become very, very rich. And in order to become very, very rich, you will need to steal lots and lots of money. But you must be very careful, because if you don't steal enough money, then you might go to jail. See, the trick is to steal enough money that you can buy yourself a government. Then you can steal to your heart's content with no fear of suffering anything as distasteful as being arrested. Plus, when you own a government, then even if you lose all your money, then you can get your pet government to make the losers pay for that too. So you see, when you run the game, the rules are: heads you win, and tails everybody else loses. You can't beat it, literally. Now, if you're in a really, really hurry to become very, very rich and make lots and lots of money, then the trick is to buy lots and lots of those pretty poppy flowers. And that is, in fact, why I called this segment Poppy Seed Street. Yes, kids, thanks to the ingenious war on drugs, illicit drugs have become the biggest and baddest business on the whole entire world. And this little, innocent, pretty, easy-to-grow flower can be processed into some of the most popular illicit drugs that there are, and then you can make a fortune! I'm afraid that's all for Poppy Seed Street this week, kids. But don't be sad, because you can tune in next week when we will learn how to overthrow third world governments and assassinate labor leaders. Yippee! Won't you be my neighbor? What if aliens came from outer space and poisoned half our rivers, wiped out 1 in 10 of our animal species, dismantled entire mountains and dumped them into the rivers, systematically laced our agricultural lands with poison, laced our children's toys with carcinogens, torched and hacked down all the forests all over the planet, and radically altered our atmosphere, thus making future survival problematic for billions of people? Would we rise up and take a stand? Or would we have the Supreme Court declare them to be people and give them all our money? It's time to bow down to our alien masters.
For more, the game is on the come here. Our leaders are among us. Now I guess I'm to stay.
rubber planet. May the aliens decide to come and manage it. Now most people work in the savage pit, and the rich guys have to get flies on the buckets and the guns with fighting jets.
So I hate to be the boy who cries wolf and warn everybody that the sky is falling, or whatever your favorite metaphor is for unwarranted warnings, but we are running out of time, kids. It is possible that some unforeseen miracle will pop out of left field and save us all. But the odds are becoming very slim.
Now we're clogged in interstellar civilization. Now their name are probably Groovebobs, and they bought them double inch feet when they speak. A chimp is just a bastard of the aliens, love it. Ask them more. They get their bones like a head start, because they fall right when they fall. With apes as exit functional, while humans are dysfunctional. Emphasis made the aliens sad, and now they share that we're all mad. I hope they don't find out about my history, when I used to be employed at the laboratory, where the tests upon the monkeys were also gory.
Consider, should the trucks suddenly stop rolling, then there is 3 days worth of food in any given American city at any given time. And there are not only several possible scenarios wherein the trucks would stop rolling, but it is beginning to appear as if two or three of those scenarios may be playing out more or less simultaneously.
We wear shock collars every day. We thought we were the crown of creation, but now we fall to our concentration. And it seems to be all up with destination. Just a feed a bunch of cats inside our alien mental chest. And that's no jest.
All right. So I would like to speak now about the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems. And I guess that's kind of a presumptuous thing to say, that I, a lifelong traveling vagabond, presume to understand the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems, eh? Possibly. Possibly even probably. But when has that ever stopped me before? Anyway, here it is. More and more information about the often problematic effects upon the human psyche of trauma in general, and of childhood trauma in particular, are coming to light. And it sounds kind of cliche at this point to say this, but the fact remains that hurt people hurt other people, who then go on to hurt other people, and so forth, and so on. And we are beginning more and more to learn about the fact that removing a child from their primary caregiver is one of the most traumatic things that can happen to that child, especially if that removal is done violently and or with a lot of drama. And this is true even in the case of highly abusive caregivers. Now, you can't just leave a child with a highly abusive caregiver. But when you remove that child, you must be aware of the trauma that you are inflicting upon that child, and you must be hyper-mindful of doing everything possible to mitigate that trauma. And if you don't do that, then society will very likely pay the price a few years down the road. Yet that is virtually never how they do things. They evidently prefer the drama and the violence. So anyway, in my opinion, the most important and most undercovered story in our nation, at least in the context of our social health in general and our mental health in particular, which also ties into our political health and our environmental health and every other kind of health, is the fact that this country's foster care system is a torture chamber for tens of thousands of children, and it has been for decades. As wards of the state, they have highly limited legal rights, and foster children are highly disproportionately raped and abused. Some states are worse than others, but all of them are very bad. And I've been reporting upon this issue in the Thunderbolt a few times, but the understanding that this is the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems only came to me relatively late in my career, and I wish now that I had thunderbolted the foster care system much more often than I did. I did produce a piece on this subject called Cold Steel Arms back in 2016, but there ended up being a couple of problems with that piece that I did not want to air it for this last show. And I also wrote an article in my newsletter about a child custody case out of Olympia, a local one. And that one was called Suffer the Children. And I forget when I published that, but it was 2 or 3 years ago. So you can go back in my archives and look for all that stuff if you'd like. And so I'll just go over some of the highlights real quick with you. Often our foster care systems are run like personal little fiefdoms by some local magistrate of one kind or another, usually but not always a judge, and this person has almost godlike powers to determine the fate of the children who come before him or her. Many of their procedures are totally opaque due to the fact that they are dealing with children, and hardly anyone pays any attention to what they're doing anyway, so all kinds of nefarious badness can and does go on. And if a foster child displays any of the normal symptoms or reactions to trauma, then that child is immediately drugged, and that child is kept drugged for the remainder of their childhood. And finally, when they age out, usually at age 18, though I believe some states it extends into their early 20s, these kids are simply cut loose into the world. And often they have no money, no job, no home, no family, no prospects, no hope, no dreams. And in fact, about the only thing they do have is a government-induced drug habit that the government is suddenly no longer paying for. So, geez, what could go wrong? So these are America's throwaway children. We put these kids through an emotional and psychological meat grinder, and then we blame them, and we demonize them, and we dehumanize them when they come out of that process all ground up. These are the kids who go on to populate our prisons or end up spending their lives vomiting on themselves in some alley. And when I see politicians using the power of the government to target the most helpless and vulnerable members of our communities, it reminds me of an entire varsity football team all lining up to start kicking a crippled 12-year-old girl who's already down. And it frankly disgusts me. So that's the disease on a social level, and this disease is also part of the larger infection of diseased minds that run our politics and run all our corporations. So we're almost done with the short version of this last show. You can still find all my archives at my website, which is Dana, D-A-N-A, 98501.wordpress.com. And 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you to remember that. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have been on the air all of these years, and I thank everybody who made all that possible. And I'd also like to thank my Patreon supporters. There weren't many of you, but you helped immensely, believe me. So that's it. I got 6 more minutes for some of you, but otherwise I'm out of here. Peace.
Thank you very much.